He is an absolute star, Nick Flosten. No question about that. A two-time premiership player, Dallin, just continues to get better and better and better with every season.
And starting to get the credit that he deserves. I know there's a lot of superstars around him, but this man is fitting right in that same category now.
Bit to talk to him about. We haven't had the chance to talk to him since becoming a two-time premiership player, and he joins us on the line this morning. Hello, Nick.
Morning, boys.
Hey, nice to have you with us, mate. Before we get stuck into the footy, just tell us about what's been going on in the off-season. You've been abroad doing some cool stuff.
Yeah, me and Toby Nankervis got the opportunity to go to India through our partnership with the WWF. So we were over there for about a week, 3 or 4 weeks ago. And, yeah, it's with our partnership trying to save tigers. So it's pretty fun.
And what does that involve? I mean, this is the first that a lot of people may be hearing about this. So you and a few of the boys have done some stuff in recent years regarding saving tigers. You've been to India. Last year, you were in Sumatra. How does this come about, and what is your responsibility?
Yeah, I suppose with Ben Rutten a couple of years ago actually started the partnership. He kind of reached out to them, and they don't usually align themselves with footy clubs just for everyone supporter that likes the club. Usually, there's 10 or 15 that don't. So they weren't getting a lot of money from Australia anyway, but so they aligned to us. And in the first year, it was more just a couple of media ops. I think we had a WWF game at the G. And then me and Jack Graham went over to Sumatra last year. That was kind of where we were going to focus all the money that we did raise. And then this year, we went over to India to see kind of how well they're doing it and some things that we could bring back to Sumatra. So since we went to Sumatra last year, we managed to reach out to a couple of corporates and raise a fair bit of money. And that's gone to, supporting the Tigers in Sumatra where they need it most. So it's been a fair bit of success so far, but hopefully over the next couple of years it gets even bigger.
Some people might say, Nick, that it's not the traditional way that they think that a footballer spends their off-season. It sounds like you get a lot of satisfaction out of it, though.
Yeah, it is good fun. Like, growing up, you always know, like, these companies do stuff, but you don't really know what. So I was kind of going into it pretty blind. And then, the first trip to Sumatra was a real eye-opener. And, like, we got to go places you just can't go over the general public with our affiliation with them. So, the trip was really fun, learned a lot, and then it's kind of just built from there. I'm pretty good mates with WWF bloke now, and we're on the text constantly, and he gets to go some pretty cool places. So, it's pretty fun just being involved with him, to be honest.
This may be a crazy question. How close do you get to the Tigers, and how much are you actually hands-on? I don't know how crazy that is.
Well, in Sumatra, like, the jungle was that thick, you couldn't see more than 10 metres. It was very unlikely we would see one because we did a fair bit of trekking, but we didn't see one. And then when we went to India, they've got a pretty good tourism industry about it. So we're in the back of Jeeps driving around for 8 hours a day looking at them. And we got probably 10 metres from a big female, like 150-kilo female. Wow. But they're pretty used to seeing the Jeeps, so they just completely ignored us. And we saw some younger cubs, and they were pretty inquisitive and stuff. But even then, real safe, pretty safe.
That's fascinating. We intro'd you off the top there as it now a two-time premiership player, and we haven't had the chance to talk to you since you won the premiership. Has it all sunk in now? Have you had much of a chance to reflect on what that means for you and still very much the young part of your career?
Not really. We only got back to training on Monday, and then we had a first year's camp on Wednesday, so I've only been in at the club for 2 days. But, it was good fun once again. This one was completely different to 2017. I found, like, 2017, first time we did it, it was just everything was new. We wanted to touch everything type thing.
Yep.
This one was more of a relief and got to, like, celebrate it with family and fans a little bit more, I suppose. And then, a lot of young boys who didn't get to experience the first one as well. Like, Lynchy, who's a massive part of our club already, and Liam Baker and Jaden Short. It was pretty cool for them to play in. And, we got to watch them enjoy it as well. So, completely different feeling.
Have you watched it back? And if you did, was it something you did as a group or was it something that you wanted to do individually?
I haven't watched them back. They were on at the club family day, the Sunday, but I was struggling to keep my eyes open after that. So I actually haven't watched either of them back properly. I think we're planning something early next year. We'll get together as a group. I actually haven't watched either of them back yet.
People are fascinated about motivation and what gets groups going. You speak about the different feeling between 3 years ago and the season just gone. What does it feel like coming back to the football club now that you are a two-time premiership player? Is it still that excitement, or is it, as you just mentioned, like, it's almost a relief, but the pressure that comes with once again being the champions?
Yeah, I was probably more excited to get back because you know how fun it can be, I suppose. And like, yeah, the off season, it is fun because you get to do what you want, but you want to get back into that routine and get around 40 of your mates. So I suppose after the flag, you do get to build pretty special relationships. So you want to be around those blokes more, and they're all at the footy club. So, yeah, this year I was probably looking forward to getting back more than any other year. So, yeah, the motivation's definitely still there.
How much more improvement within you? And we reference you as being a younger player, but you're established, and there's some stuff coming off the speckled text machine in here saying you are a star and definitely underrated, and we agree with all those comments that are coming through. How much more improvement in you, first of all? Like, how much better can your game get and consistent can it get?
Yeah, I don't know. With Rancy coming back this year, hopefully I can drop off my opponent even more because he'll take two or three. So that's what I'm hoping. But, yeah, don't know. We'll see what happens.
And what about this group as a whole? I mean, you've reinvented the game the last couple of years and everyone's trying to copy your style, as difficult as it is. And we know that the handball game is huge for the Tigers. How does your game change or stay ahead of the game, I guess?
Well, I suppose it kind of felt like in 2016 we were kind of chasing the other teams.
Yeah.
And then we had such a poor year. We knew we had the talent, but we just didn't have the year we were capable of. So Dimmer kind of went away and it kind of felt like he threw everything out the window and just like hit the reset button. We got a lot of the new assistant coaches in and we kind of just brought the fun back to footy. And, yeah, kind of created our own identity, I suppose. And we looked at the strengths that we had on the list. We have a lot of pace, a lot of speed. So we kind of just developed a game plan around that and it kind of formed organically. Like, we didn't go out to plan to handball too much. It was just the players that we had, their strengths were around the handball game. So it kind of just grew from that. And then we started winning a few games and then we just improved even more. So,
Nick, for a bunch of different reasons this year, whether it was injury or form or otherwise, Damien Hardwick showed, and even in the grand final with Marlon Pickett, he will go to anyone on the list at any stage if they tick the box and fill the role. I feel like we've seen a lot of your list play now in the last 2 years. Does that show, I guess, what's believed internally at Richmond, that there is a stack of depth on your list now that we've all seen it?
Yeah, definitely. Craig McRae's probably the epitome of that. Like, he's been unreal for our VFL program. He stepped up to assistant coach this year because we lost Blake Carosella. But, yeah, Fly's been unreal with the VFL squad. Like, it's a pretty tough spot to be in because all the players playing VFL, they want to do well. They want to be playing AFL. But, yeah, Fly brought them really close together and made them a team as well, I suppose. So, yeah, the VFL boys won the flag this year. And we had 36 players play across the year in the AFL. So, we know we can just go down there. And the quality is just as good. Our team plays the same structures, same everything. So we know what they do at VFL, they'll be able to do it at AFL.
How do you guys apply yourself to this pre-season in regards to the actual amount of work that you get to do? You're only going to be back for 12 to 15 odd days before your Christmas break starts. With the CBA, you get 3 weeks off. You come back on the other side of Christmas and you've probably got a month before you're fronting up for the pre-season competition. How do you approach that knowing that you need to get so much work in? And not that necessarily you're behind the other clubs, but you've got to definitely make up a little bit more ground physically.
Yeah, it's a weird one because Peter Bird said on day one of preseason, like the three finals that we played there, the highest intensity, the highest quality games that you'd want to play. So we kind of got that extra conditioning at the end of last season as well.
Yeah.
Like, I reckon if you spoke to any other AFL club, how would you want to prepare for next season? It's probably three high quality games would be the way. So we don't feel like we're behind it all. We've got a good solid 3 week block before we go off to Christmas, and then after you've still got 5 or 6 weeks. So, and we kind of find out in 2018 you don't want to be hitting your straps too early in the season as well. So you just want to hit the good form at the end of the year. So hopefully that works out again.
Hey, Nick, just before we let you go, an insider at the club, we'll just leave it at that, told us to ask you about your cricketing skills against primary school kids. Do you want to share that with us?
Yeah. So in India, we went out to this school near the reserve to kick the footies and kind of just getting in for the WWF to teach the next generation. But so we went there with the footies, we were kicking them, and yeah, they were pretty scared of the footy, to be honest. And they had this cricket set up. So me and Toby went over there and started bowling. They were probably 8 to 11-year-olds. They could get some bat on it, but when you put a fair bit of pace off it coming off a long run-up, you could get them out. So me and Toby were having a bit of fun, and then I kind of just took the bat from them and just started tonking them. The pitch was a minefield, though. There was a pig running across it every now and then, but I probably would have been close to a century before the kids gave up. I was having a fair bit of fun.
A century nipped in the bud. Hey, Nick, thanks for joining us. The Tigers fans have been texting through thick and fast on the Speckle text here. They love you, and we loved having you on the show this morning. So thanks for the chat.
Thanks for having me, boys.
It was one hell of a ride for the Western Bulldogs in the second half of 2019, and they rode that wave all the way into the final series and will look to continue to ride that wave throughout 2020 and beyond. Tim English was a massive part of that, and for Dogs fans, memberships for 2020, they are also now on sale. You simply head to westernbulldogs.com.au. Tim English joins us on SEN Breakfast. Good morning, Tim.
Good morning.
Cobwebs dusted off now, back into pre-season, all in the full swing of things?
Yeah, back into it now. I've got a main session today and had all the draftees come in on Wednesday, so got to meet all of those guys and, yeah, there's a few new faces around, but, yeah, looking good for 2020.
It must be very exciting to get back to the football club as most players are now ready to go. But there's a lot of expectation. We speak about football a lot, and you know, you think about who's going to be the big jumpers, and we know you played finals last year, but I'm one of a lot of people that think that you are the big movers next year. Is that the feeling within the club that last year was a stepping stone and only upwards and onwards from here in 2020?
I think it was a really good experience for us as a sort of younger group to get that that little sniff of finals and that taste of finals footy, and I know, speaking on behalf of everyone at the club, we're looking to push that further and hopefully go deeper. So, yeah, hopefully we can get another taste of that and go a couple games further.
I was at that game, that first final up there against the Giants, and it was a tough game. What did you take out of it as you sit here 3 or 4 months on? What have you taken out of that game? You think, you know what, if we get back to that position, we need to do something particularly better. Have you debriefed on that?
Well, I think it's kind of obvious the Giants targeted us physically, and we probably didn't stand up to that as well as we would have liked. But I know everyone within the club, if we did get that opportunity again, would be more ready for that and more prepared. And, yeah, we'd look to sort of implement our game style within that, which would give us a better opportunity of winning.
Yeah, is it the sort of thing, Tim, now that you've had to go through it once to experience and learn from it?
I'd say so. Obviously, you go into any final thinking you're prepared and, preparing during the week for what you think it's like. But me personally, I might have played in one final previously. So that was one of my first tastes of finals footy. And it was a really cool experience.
Just explain to us and to the SEN family listening this morning what it's like as a ruckman when the role's changing all the time. There was a time, you know, probably when you were growing up where the ruckman was a stand, tap, and then basically not be involved in the passage of play. And now you've got guys like yourself and Brody Grundy, Max Gawn, who are part of the chain going forward. Is it a difficult one to manage the physical side of it, but also manage the amount of running that you need to do in a game?
Well, thankfully, from my point of view, it has changed because I don't think I'd be very good at the old stand and tap. But, we do put a lot of time into running these days. And as you've seen with Brody and Max, their ability to have an influence around the ground as well as their tap work is making them some of the best players in the game at the moment. So it is really important to be able to sort of cover the ground, and that's why we do all the fitness training during pre-season. But that tap work and those little intricacies also help as well.
How many Ks would you be covering roughly a game, Tim?
I wouldn't know, too. Probably between 13 and 14, I'd say.
That's a good effort. That's a very good effort. When I look at you and I've watched you, and I think you've improved out of sight over the last 18 or so months, what about your body size? When you are going up against the best ruckman in the competition, and we often reference Grundy and Gawn, physically, how are you feeling? And where does your body need to get to really compete with the boys that are in the All-Australian team?
I think physically I'm getting there slowly. I remember when I first came to the club, they sort of said that it was going to take sort of 3 to 4 years, and I'm starting to get into that period, so starting to notice physically I am getting stronger and I'm feeling stronger out on the track and that kind of thing. But yeah, when you compare to, Brody and Max again, I need to get stronger and be able to try and match it with them. So it's a tough challenge, but, yeah, I'm looking forward to continuing to grow in that area.
Look back at the trade period. You get in a key forward in Josh Bruce, and you also get in a key defender, Alex Keith, who isn't training at the moment due to that injury. But it must be pleasing to be able to go out and source these ready-made players from other clubs so you can really challenge once again in the next season.
Yeah, that is exciting. But the other exciting part is they wanted to come to our club. And, yeah, they're really good players. And, yeah, they're getting along really well with the rest of the group. So had Brucey out on the track and, yeah, brings some good energy. And, yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing them play.
I look at, there's been three captain changes this week. And I look at Easton Wood and the job that he's done, and a brilliant job. The next one's Marcus Bontempelli. Would you be shocked if Marcus took over the captaincy for 2020?
I think at the Bulldogs at the moment, we're lucky to have a lot of great leaders, and Marcus is one of them, and Easton's one of them. He's shown that. So I guess we'll have those discussions. We haven't had those discussions yet, but we'll have them. And but at the moment, yeah, I see Easton as our captain.
Hey, Tim, I just want to go back to something before we let you go. You were talking about putting on body size. I remember reading an article about you earlier in the year about what you had to eat, or more specifically, how much you had to eat. Is that still going on? And give us a bit of an idea of what a daily diet for a big boy trying to put on weight looks like.
Yeah, it's probably one of the more difficult parts about putting on size is the amount of food you have to consume. But, yeah, I'm still trying to eat as much as I can. Whenever I have a spare 5 minutes, I try and get some food in. yeah, it's actually, you actually get sick of eating, which is a funny thing to say. It's actually quite difficult.
Is there something that, like, they tell you to eat everything, but is there something that you know you probably shouldn't be eating, but you do eat more than what you should? A little treat or something?
I don't know. I love my chockey, but lucky it doesn't show up too much.
Sensational. Tim, thanks for joining us. Good luck, and great to have you on the show today.
All right. Thanks for having
me. Thanks, Tim.
One of our absolute favourites and one of Australia's greatest ever basketballers, Phil Smyth, OAM, four-time Defensive Player of the Year, six-time NBL First Team Player, three championships as a player, three as a coach. The list just goes on and on and on. And we are delighted that he can join us this morning on SEN Summer Breakfast. Good morning, Phil. Thanks for your time.
Oh, boys, and just to add to the list on SEN Breakfast, that would be right up the top, I reckon.
Listen, don't lie to us off the top, all right? Come on. Phil, a lot of things we want to talk to you about, but I guess it's a good time to be chatting to you because you've been observing the NBL is in a remarkable place right now when you think about where it was a few years ago to where it is right now.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Almost back to the 80s, aren't we? We're in that real purple patch. And I reckon there's a couple of reasons for it. One is that suddenly, well, probably the first one is the exposure we now get internationally with TV. You know, we get ESPN, we get Fox, we get all that. And suddenly we've got all these Aussie guys playing in the NBA, which is great. And then the Aussies beat America just recently, of course, in Melbourne, then the World Championships, and Larry Kesselman's got the NBL up and going. So everything, it's kind of all morphed in at a really good time to explode the game again.
And Phil, what do you see when you're watching games? What draws you back to this game? You referenced the 80s. I was probably more just the 90s. And I'm being a Melbourne, Andrew Gaze, Leonard Copeland spring to mind. I think of the good days of NBL, and you're obviously a big part of that. What draws you to the game now that excites you?
Look, I reckon it's the whole package, Nick. I think the whole package. You know, you go, it's an entertainment night. The standard of the game's a lot better. And I think the closeness of the league. I mean, you've played, and you know what it's like. Jack does too. That everyone says, "Oh, this will be the best season. This will be the greatest." But it probably is. I mean, suddenly you have Cairns who are down the bottom end beating teams up the top end. Illawarra, although they're 3-9 with LaMelo playing, I mean, he's drawing sell-out crowds. Who would have thought a bottom team could go into state and then draw sell-out crowds? So it's a combination of things.
It's been an interesting time from a national perspective as well. Andre Lemanis recently replaced as coach, and Brett Brown coming back to the helm. It was a decision that some people say they saw it coming. Others say that they were surprised with it. What was your take on it, Phil?
Yeah, look, I spoke to Andre about it, so we're going to go with what Andre says. And to be fair, I spoke to him a year ago, and him and Luke Longley as well, and they were both saying they thought after the Worlds they might have just about had enough. So I reckon it's on the back of that. I think Brett Brown, obviously, with his experience, being in Australia, and then with the Ben Simmons factor coming in, I think they tried everything they could to get Ben to play, and now they, well, if we get the coach there as well, we're guaranteed. So, again, the disadvantage in that is that Brett's really got 8 months now to prepare this team to get, you know, keep talking about that elusive medal at the Olympic Games. So I think it's going to be a really interesting time. I don't reckon it's the one where you can just go, Brett in, guaranteed medal because Ben Simmons comes. So we've seen across all sports where great players come in and that doesn't necessarily happen. So it's still a tricky road.
Does it increase the expectation now by having Brett there and Ben being available?
No question at all. The expectation, I think Brett aside, Ben coming is the one that lifts the expectation, without doubt. It's a bit like Dangerfield turning back at Geelong when he leaves Adelaide. You're like, oh, that's it. Geelong have got it. Now they've got Dangerfield. So there is that expectation when you get a super player in your team that you're just going to win a medal. I think you're going to expect the Americans to send a fairly solid team after the World Cup, mate. I reckon they might have dibs on the gold medal at this stage.
Are you proud as a past NBL player watching what our boys are doing, particularly in the NBA at the moment? And when you watch it, which player in particular think, yeah, there's a little bit of me in him in particular? You got to compare. We always compare ourselves to someone. Phil, who are you? Who's the modern player of you?
Phil Smythe, Ben Simmons. Yeah.
I can see the similarities there. Yeah, I was a good 6'9" in my time, mate. I don't think I can compare myself to any of those blokes. Like, I enjoy watching. I really like Paddy Mills. He's a ripping fella too. And I've got a lot of time for Paddy. Joe Ingles is probably my favourite because I coached Joe here in Adelaide when he looked like he was going to play for the 36ers. And he's just a great guy. I mean, that's the other thing. All of them are just ripping players, but they're great guys as well. So tend to find myself following all of them and going, gee, it's great. Aaron Baines is, what's he doing out there at the three-point line? I reckon there's enough big blokes out there, mate. Just get back in where you belong. So, you know, give us something. Give the little fella something. Leave something for us. So I really enjoyed that period, and it looks like it's going to continue.
Phil, part of what you've been doing post-basketball, you do a fabulous job on the speaking circuit. You do a lot of interesting things across all walks of sport. You're involved in the Adelaide process to find their next coach.
I knew you boys would get to this.
Well, got to ask you one question on it. How did you enjoy that process? And I guess it was something different that you hadn't been involved in from a footy point of view before.
Yeah, I'd done it a couple of times before. Once at the AFL level when Phil Walsh came in and took the job for the Crows, I was a part of it then, but there wasn't as much focus on it. There never is when the coach leaves on his own accord, as opposed to there was a lot surrounding Pike's departure. So there was a lot of exposure on it for lots of different reasons. It was a really good process. So I really enjoyed it. I really enjoyed talking to all the coaches that applied for the job and got a lot out of what they had to say. So for me, it was a really interesting process. And I think Nixie's the right man for the job. And it'll be interesting to see how the season unfolds for a couple of teams this year. I reckon there's a lot of new coaches in. We haven't seen that many for a while in the AFL.
What was it about Matty Nix that drew you towards him in particular? And we hear all the reports about how good a fella he is, obviously from the Sydney program as a player, then the Giants. What was it about Matty Nix he said, yep, this is the right candidate?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I don't know that there was one thing. I had a really good conversation with Leon Cameron about Nixie. And look, they're all new. All the guys that came in were all new coaches. So you know when you come into coaching, you get some warts, as we do. We all get better the longer we're in things. And I think Nixie's probably the one thing that gave him just a little edge over the others was that he'd been in that senior coaching role for a bit longer. And, when you're going to throw someone in, you go, that's his edge. They were all dangerously close. I reckon that's probably the one that just gave Nixie an edge.
Phil, just to put you on the spot before we let you go, if you had to predict the winner of this year's NBL title, who is it?
I think it's got to be Sydney at the moment. Yeah. Divide and conquer is a great thing, isn't it? They took Casper Ware away from Melbourne United, which weakened them and strengthened Sydney. And they've got it going pretty nicely. When you've only lost one game and you're 12 games into the season, I reckon you deserve a bit of favouritism.
Yeah, they're looking pretty sharp, aren't they? Phil, thanks for joining us. We really appreciate it.
Always good to talk to you guys, and I'll make sure that goes on my resume. Don't you worry about that.
At the top, Phil.
Right at the top, mate. Don't you worry about the Olympics. You boys will be right at the top, mate.